As you wish, sir. She collected our menus and stole one more glance of Michael before walking away. The three of us took short sips of our wine and sat in complete silence before Jonathan cleared his throat. So, Michael, what hospital do you work for?
None. I have my own practice downtown. It's relatively small, though. Only 3 doctors and 5 nurses.
What's your specialty?
Michael's eyes met mine.
Women.
Interesting.
Jonathan reached over and put his hand on my thigh.
What made you choose that?
Well, no disrespect to the children's hospital. I worked there for over a decade, but my true talent, he said as his eyes met mine again, has always been working with the female anatomy.
I picked up my wine glass and practically chugged the whole thing. I tried to clamp my legs shut, but Jonathan had already slipped his hand between my thighs. He wouldn't dare do this here.
Hmm, Jonathan nodded. This may seem like an odd question, but do any of your patients ever ask you out?
He laughed.
Yes, but I always turn them down. It'd be inappropriate. Completely inappropriate.
I felt Jonathan's thumb circling around my clit.
Except in your case, Claire. Michael beamed at me. If it had been you and not your mom, I'm sure I would have broken the rules for you.
You too are dating?
Jonathan smiled and looked back and forth between the two of us, teasing my opening with his middle finger. Before Michael could answer, a group of waitresses brought out a series of plates. Each entree was floating atop its own silver bed of steaming hot water.
I had the chef make a miniature version of every signature item,
our waitress said, as she refilled our glasses. He wishes to speak with you personally after your meal, Mr. Statham. I'll return to check on all of you rather shortly. I looked over a small plate of brightly skewered vegetables and sautéed chicken. I was about to pick up my fork and taste a piece, but Jonathan drove 2 fingers deep inside of me, pinning me completely still.
This looks amazing. Michael picked up his spoon. So, Jonathan, I'm sure it must be great being the CEO of your own company. What's the most difficult part?
I couldn't concentrate on the conversation. Not with Jonathan sliding his thick fingers in and out of me, slowly, teasingly, like he was going to prolong this session forever.
The hardest part?
He used his left hand to pick up his fork, keeping his right hand extremely busy.
That would probably be a product's development stage.
Really? I would think that would be the easiest part.
No, not at all.
He shook his head.
Let's say you have this beautiful and amazing product, something you know everyone else will want. You have to figure out a way to keep it to yourself throughout all stages of development before it becomes official. You know, mark your territory, so to speak.
His fingers were rubbing against my G-spot, making my breaths shorter and shorter.
So, quite naturally, he continued, you have to be willing to take certain public risks.
Isn't your company about to go public in a few months? Michael asked. Is that a risk?
Yes, it's a huge risk.
Jonathan's fingers plunged as deep as they could go.
But I'm all in, and I can't turn back. Once I'm in deep, the only option is to go deeper and deeper.
Isn't that right, Claire?
Son of a bitch, I nodded.
Are you okay, Claire? Michael looked concerned. Did your food go down the wrong way again?
Jonathan turned to look at me.
Yes, Claire. You're confusing the two of us. Do you not like the water plates?
I'm okay, I murmured and attempted to pick up a fork. I'm just... I felt his fingers punishing me again, feeling a tad bit weak. Michael shrugged and took another bite of his food. The waitress stopped by and cleared away the empty glasses, providing us with freshly filled ones. Before she walked away, Jonathan grabbed her by the arm.
I'm sorry, but could you bring some more hot water for our friend here?
He looked at me.
I think she likes her tear plate extra wet. Maybe that will help you better, Claire.
Could I get some too?
Michael spooned butter onto a slice of bread.
Claire, you've been quiet all afternoon. How's your day going so far?
It's going. I was on the verge of an orgasm. I could feel my clit throbbing, my insides clenching together tightly. Since Jonathan knew exactly what spot to hit and how to hit it, I knew I was only seconds away from a sweet release. It's... Jonathan turned to face me and smirked.
It's going well? Is that what you were trying to say? Do you need help spitting it out? Or are you almost there?
Fuck you, Jonathan. I nodded and tucked my lips in, trying to remain as still as possible, as wave after wave of pulsing pleasure rippled through my body.
Claire, you sure you don't want to get that checked out? Michael sipped his wine. I know a specialist you can use.
No. I caught my breath. I'm okay. And my day is going very well.
He suddenly stood up from the table. This is an emergency page from one of my nurses. I'm sorry, but I have to take this.
He walked out of the room.
You should try the steak strips, Claire.
Jonathan smiled and removed his fingers.
They're very succulent.
He is insane. I can't believe you. You are so... I don't even know what you are. Why would you do that in front of him?
Would you prefer if I did it behind him? When he comes back, we can move the table around and try it. Maybe then I won't have to deal with him eye-fucking you.
He was not. He was being extremely polite. Was that the only reason you invited him? So you could further inflate your ego?
No. I did that because you lied to me about the director's meeting a few weeks ago.
He laughed.
You didn't think I forgot about that, did you?
I rolled my eyes. So you're really not mad about today?
Mad? About today? About the guy I told you to get rid of showing up to your office with flowers because he thinks he still has a chance? Or about this same guy kissing you on your lips right in front of me?
Which part? I told you it wasn't...
Tell him you're not interested, or I will.
He planted a kiss on my neck and stood up.
I'll go talk to the chef and see you back at corporate later. Oh, and Claire?
Yes?
I am the jealous type.
Chapter 12. Claire. I am the jealous type. I am the jealous type. I replayed Jonathan's last words in my head over and over, knowing that if I was sane, I would walk away. No, run away. Far away. I would stop answering his calls and text messages, ignore him in all of our meetings, and act as if we'd never crossed paths. But I couldn't. No matter how hard I tried to resist him, every move he made and every word he said only drew me in deeper. I'd finally admitted to myself that I liked him. A lot. But I didn't want to dig myself into a relationship that I knew would never work out for the long term. So, starting this week, I did the only thing I could do to prevent him from getting too close too soon. Put a little distance between us. I went home early on Monday and Tuesday, skipped the director's meeting on Wednesday, and on Thursday, after he asked me to meet him in an emergency stairwell, I told him I had a headache. There was no way I was getting out of our first real date tonight, though. Not that I'd been thinking about canceling it anyway. I'd been looking forward to it all week.
See you in a few minutes,
Jonathan texted me. I adjusted my earrings and ran a brush through my hair, checking myself in the mirror. I was wearing my favorite silver strappy heels and a short emerald green dress that perfectly complemented my eyes. Its soft satin fabric tightly hugged my hips. Its V neckline made my breasts look a full cup size bigger, and its slimming sleeves fell right below my elbow. The phone sounded. Jonathan. Hello?
Hello, Claire. I'm outside your door.
I'm coming. I tossed my phone into my clutch and looked at myself in the mirror one last time before heading downstairs. You're just dating him, Claire. I know you two agreed to be exclusive, but it's not serious and it never will be. You're just dating. I opened my front door and tried not to gasp once I laid eyes on him. To say that he was perfect would be an absolute understatement, an insult. Everything about the way he looked tonight was impeccable, flawless. He was wearing a tailored black tuxedo, and his sleek dark hair was slicked back in smooth waves that I wanted to run my fingers through. His beautiful blue eyes were twinkling against the night, regarding me with glances that made me think he was going to rip my dress off right then and there. We both lingered in the doorway, staring at one another, not saying a word. "Are you ready?" He smiled and reached for my hand, leading me down to a waiting limousine. He opened the back door and ushered for me to step inside first. "We're ready, Greg." He hit the button that divided the driver's section from our section and looked over at me. "Do you honestly expect me to believe that no one at corporate ever asked you out on a date before I did?"
"It's true. People flirted with me every now and then, but I think the divorcee with two kids rumor warded a lot of people off. It's not like I was the most approachable person either. I wasn't trying to date anyone."
"Where are we going?"
"On a date."
I rolled my eyes. "I'm aware that it's a date. I'm just wondering why I needed to wear a dress and why you're wearing a tuxedo.
You'll find out."
He moved closer and pressed his lips against mine.
"I didn't see you after work yesterday."
"I had a headache, remember? I decided to leave early."
"Are you feeling better now?"
He started trailing tender kisses against the base of my neck. "Yes," I suppressed a moan. "Much better."
"Will Dr. Clarkson be joining us on our date tonight? Did you tell him you were sick again? Or did you tell him the truth?"
"I told him I was seeing an extremely jealous and possessive man who would keep fingering me in public if I didn't break things off with him immediately."
"Sounds great."
He pulled me into his lap. "You're ridiculous. I told him I was seeing someone else and gave him Sandra's number. They're going out this weekend."
"Even better."
He pushed the speaker button on the door.
"Greg, could you take the scenic route, please?"
"Yes, sir."
"I haven't seen you at all this week."
He ran his hands across my thighs.
"My days have been completely thrown off."
"Flattery doesn't work well with your persona, Jonathan. I prefer your inappropriate comments and your not-so-subtle threats."
"You haven't missed me?"
"No. Should I?" He sighed and repositioned me in his lap.
"You're going to stop lying to me one of these days."
"Jonathan." I felt him slowly hiking my dress up and tried to move. "Your driver is in here."
"What's your point?"
He touched between my thighs and reached for my panties, but I wasn't wearing any. "I don't want to have sex while he's..."
"You clearly wanted to have sex at some point tonight."
He pinched my clit. "No, I clearly didn't want a visible panty line. I'm not..." I tried my best to act unaffected by the warm kisses he was placing on my neck, on my shoulders, on my back. I'm not having sex with you right now." He let out a low, sexy laugh and began unbuckling his pants, unwrapping a condom. "I'm serious, Jonathan," I murmured unconvincingly as he slid my dress up even further. I don't want to have sex in a limo."
"Then you should have worn a different dress."
He pushed me up and out of his lap, and before I could lunge towards the side seats, he pulled me back down by my shoulders. He slowly lowered me onto him. My back was facing his chest, and I tried my best not to cry out, but it was no use. I screamed as he filled me with every inch of him, as he flexed his hips and moved me up and down. "Jesus. Jonathan."
"Yes."
He kneaded my breasts with his hands.
"You want me to stop? You want me to let you go?"
"No." He pinched my nipples, hard.
"I can't hear you."
I said no.
"Ride me."
He let my sides go and leaned back, letting me take full control. I gripped his knees and arched my back, using my balance to swivel around in circles. I started off slow, but I wanted more of him, needed more of him. So I thrust myself onto him harder and harder, riding him with wild abandon. He reached around and rubbed my swollen clit with his fingers, pushing me closer and closer to the edge.
Oh, God. Jonathan.
You feel so good, Claire. He groaned. So good. Tell me when you're almost there.
He locked me in his arms and slowed my pace down, pressing his head against the back of my shoulder.
Are you close?
Yes, I moaned. My body was quivering, shuddering, getting ready to explode. But before I could let go, Jonathan pushed me off of him. He turned me around and positioned me across the seat's bench, straddling me, not re-entering me.
Do you think I don't know what you've been doing?
He hissed. What the? What? What the hell are you talking about? I thrust my hips up to meet him, but he pinned them down.
Going home early? Skipping director's meetings? Sudden headaches? You think I haven't noticed?
I didn't want to talk. I wanted to reach my orgasm right now. And him denying me one was beginning to hurt. Can you please?
You think I'm going to put up with that shit?
Jonathan,
I don't like mixed signals, and I don't half-ass anything, Claire. Especially things like this. Do you understand me?
I felt my eyes widening. Felt a mix of shock and frustration ripping through me. Yes, I panted. Now please.
Please what?
I could barely speak. My clit was pulsating in pleasurable pain. My body was in desperate need of a release.
You don't like the way this feels? Being denied something just because someone wants to take a step back all of a sudden? For no good reason?
No, I murmured.
I don't either.
He kept my hips pinned to the seat and began kissing the inside of my thighs, driving my need to come even more.
Let's see what happens when it's completely held back, though. Let's see how the aftermath really feels.
Damn him. I'm sorry for doing all those things, Jonathan. I wasn't trying to send you mixed signals. Now, please. I was practically begging, writhing underneath him. He slid his tongue up past my navel, in between my breasts.
You'll stop playing games with me?
I nodded my head.
Say it.
I'll stop. His eyes softened as he looked at me. As he contemplated what I'd said, he slid into me and thrust it in and out, slowly, gently. And within minutes I was shutting my eyes and screaming, reveling in a much-needed climax.
Fuck.
Jonathan collapsed on top of me seconds later. We were both panting heavily, in sync with one another. And before I could catch another breath, I felt him kissing my lips and pulling my dress down. I didn't want to open my eyes yet. I didn't want to look at him or see his, "I've got you right where I want you," face. I simply spread my legs and felt what I already knew was coming. The soft swipes of a cloth, the gentle kisses against my forehead and neck.
Claire.
His sultry voice almost made me wet all over again. My eyes fluttered open and I realized he was staring at me. I wanted to look away from him, to pretend that I was mad for that ridiculous orgasm denial. But all I could do was stare back.
You're so fucking beautiful.
He pulled me up and put his arm around me, holding me against his chest. We quickly slipped into silence, into that I'm perfectly comfortable with you silence that I'd only ever enjoyed with him. I looked out the window and saw that we were still in the city. I figured that Jonathan saying scenic route must have meant drive around in circles, because my house was a mere 10 minutes away, and we'd been in the car for much longer. I started wondering about where we were going, tonight and long term. I didn't want to think about it, but I couldn't help it since he'd seen through my distancing attempt. What if this turned into an actual relationship? What if we did last a long time and he wanted kids in the future? Should I introduce him to Ashley and Caroline? Were we at that point yet? Did I really like him that much, or was my like clouded by his good looks and the mind-blowing sex? Was this something we were both doing to...
Stop that.
Jonathan tilted my head up and kissed me. Stop what?
Thinking. About this. About us.
He tucked a strand of hair behind my ear.
Stop it. Mr. Statham?
The driver's voice came over the speaker.
Yes, Greg. We've arrived, sir.
We'll be right out.
Jonathan kissed me again and waited for the driver to open the door. He stepped out of the car and reached for my hand.
Does this place look familiar?
Yeah. It's the Golden Gate I stopped and looked around. There were no cars coming or going in any of the six lanes. No tourists camped out on the railings. No pedestrians taking a late-night stroll. In the distance, I could see a single table covered in a white tablecloth, and hundreds of giant red candles surrounding it.
You had the entire bridge blocked off?
I gasped.
I did.
He squeezed my hand and walked me towards the table.
You mentioned liking the architecture of this bridge before. I thought you would appreciate it a lot better if you had it to yourself for a while.
He remembered that? I thought we agreed on no public...
I took care of everything.
My mind was spinning. For one, I didn't think he'd really been listening when I was talking about my love for the structure of bridges. I'd said that the first time we spoke on the phone. And two, I was remembering how it cost my team $50,000 to reserve a small photo-esque landing on the bridge for the S-Phone Blue commercial. I couldn't fathom how much it cost to completely reroute traffic and shut down the entire bridge. I looked up and expected to see news helicopters humming about, trying to zoom in on who or what had shut down the largest bridge on the West Coast. But there weren't any. It was eerily calm, and the only noise was coming from the sloshing waters below. He pulled my chair out and motioned for me to take a seat. He planted a kiss on my forehead before sitting down across from me.
Good evening, Mr. Statham, Miss Grayson.
A waiter in a white suit appeared.
What type of wine would you prefer tonight?
I'll have whatever she's having.
Jonathan looked at me as if he were waiting for me to choose. Do you have Delil Chaleur Estate Blanc? 2010? I asked.
Yes, excellent choice, miss.
The waiter walked away and quickly returned with two crystal wine glasses. He filled them and handed us a menu.
This is the menu for the Michael Mina restaurant, miss. The chef has substituted all the seafood items with his signature French and Italian dishes. I'll return shortly to get your order.
Any particular reason why you chose the Michael Mina menu? I smiled at Jonathan.
I was stood up there once.
He sipped his wine.
I never had the chance to enjoy it with the beautiful woman I was supposed to meet.
I looked over the menu, appreciating the fact that he'd remembered I didn't like seafood. I decided to order the 9-course option that featured baked lamb and caramelized chicken. Jonathan ordered the same, and the first course was brought out within minutes. The presentation of the food was surreal. Every vegetable was bright and plump. Every piece of meat was tender and brown. It almost looked too perfect to eat. I took it all in once more before picking up my fork and tasting a bite of the appetizer. This is amazing. I tried to think of something to say, something to discuss, but I was utterly speechless. No man had ever paid so much attention to a date's details before. Not even Ryan.
Do you like the food, Claire?
He looked into my eyes. I love it. It's perfect, I smiled. If you don't mind me asking, how much did you have to pay to get the city to let you do this?
You really want to know?
I nodded.
Why?
I just want to know. It cost us $50,000 to rent a quarter mile with traffic. Did this cost you $1 million? Two?
A lot more than that. But you're worth it.
He smiled and sipped his wine.
Ready for the next course?
The waiter brought out course after course, and by the time dessert was brought out, I could only eat a spoonful of the peach-flavored mousse.
Come on.
Jonathan stood up and reached for my hand.
Let's go for a walk.
I stepped over to the railing of the bridge, looking down at the ocean. A strong gust of wind blew against me, and I shivered.
You're cold?
Jonathan took off his jacket and placed it over me. Thank you. I know we're barely in spring, but have you ever wondered why it's so cold here in the summers? When I first moved here, I was looking forward to sunny summer days, but they're worse than the winter months.
The coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco. That's what every local says when people ask about the summers.
A Mark Twain quote?
Supposedly, he laughed. They claim he said it, but I'm not completely convinced. I like to read a lot, too.
Really?
What's your favorite book? I asked. I'll tell you, but you have to promise not to laugh.
I promise.
Harry Potter.
I tossed my head back and laughed hysterically.
What? You promised.
He pulled me close and kissed my hair. I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting that at all. Were you one of those people who went to all the midnight book releases?
No.
He shook his head.
No one ever took me to anything like that. I snuck off to the bookstore on the weekends and read the entire book in the store until I went off to college. As a matter of fact, the first purchase I made once I started making money was the entire collection in hardback and paperback. I even have the signed editions. What's your favorite book?
I have way too many.
Top five?
What genre?
He looked down at me and smiled. Are you naturally difficult or do you work extra hard to be?
I'm not difficult. I like Animal Farm by George Orwell, Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert, Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen, any book written by Joan Didion, and The True Confessions of Charlotte Doyle by Avi.
I've read all of those except Eat, Pray, Love. I'll have to check that one out to see where your head is. Can I ask you something personal?
He backed me against the red railing.
Yes? Are you sure?
He lowered his voice and looked into my eyes.
It's a really personal question.
He tugged at my necklace.
Yes?
He pressed his chest against mine.
In the past, how many guys have you been with?
Two.
Two?
I nodded. He smiled and clasped my hand, walking me further and further down the bridge, towards a group of black benches that were spread out across the lanes.
So, is the third guy the charm, Claire?
No, that's not what I meant to including you.
What?
He stopped walking.
Your ex-husband was your first?
Yeah, we were high school sweethearts. Before him, I messed around with a few guys here or there, but we never had traditional sex, just kisses and dry humping, and I sighed. Are you in desperate need of an ego boost right now? Are you going to ask me which one of you is better?
I don't ask questions I already know the answer to. What is traditional sex?
Are you 12 or 28?
29 in the summer.
It's just sex. You know what you and I have been doing for a while?
Does traditional sex include oral?
He joked. I stilled. I looked out over the ocean and focused on a small tugboat that was making its way towards us. I needed to figure out a way to change the subject.
Claire?
He cupped my chin.
Did you say yes?
That's too personal.
No, it's not. Tell me.
I sighed. Of course I gave him.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about you.
No, but that doesn't mean
ever?
His eyes widened. My ex was very straightforward. He always said that wasn't his thing. I was a virgin when we got together, so it never really bothered me. You can't miss what you've never experienced, you know? What we had was good. He stared at me a long time, slowly blinking, shaking his head in disbelief.
Okay. Let me ask you another question. Did you two ever have sex outside of your bedroom?
He never fucked me in a room full of people, if that's what you're asking.
Did he talk dirty to you?
He whispered in my ear.
Jonathan! Did he?
These questions are completely
necessary. I'll take that as a no.
He trailed his fingers down my backside.
Did he ever explore you here?
No. And that's not something I ever wanted him to do.
Why not?
He gently squeezed my ass. Because that's... it's...
immoral.
He laughed and pulled me down onto a bench.
We'll discuss it one day.
How many women have you been with, Jonathan? 50?
50,
he smirked.
Including you?
Oh my God, there's more? Is that number too low?
Too high.
49? He laughed.
17.
Wow.
Why do you look so shocked?
It's less than what I expected, but That's still a lot of women. Were you in relationships with any of them?
A few. One was a friend with benefits who I saw whenever I wasn't in a relationship.
And before you had sex with me, when was the last time you'd had sex?
6 months before you.
Well, that's actually quite shocking. Were there no other women at corporate who wanted to be dragged into secret rooms or bent over your desk after hours? He shrugged.
No reason, really. I was too busy, and I have to be extremely careful when it comes to women.
Because you have attachment issues?
Would you like to be fucked on the Golden Gate Bridge tonight?
He narrowed his eyes at me.
I don't have attachment issues. I have to be careful because some women are only into me for my money, or are more interested in going to the press and blackmailing me than dating me.
Has that ever happened?
Not unless you're going to attempt it. Should I be worried?
No, I leaned back. So, where do you honestly think you and I are?
I told you to stop thinking about that.
He moved me so my back was flat against his lap. I just want to know if... He bent down and kissed me.
It doesn't matter right now,
he whispered. I'm not dating anyone else, and neither are you. Let's just see where it goes. I lay like that for a long time, gazing into his eyes as he gazed back into mine. I wanted to ask him more questions. Questions about all those women he'd slept with. But after he kissed me for the umpteenth time, I forgot what I was going to say. Over the sound of the sloshing waters, I heard the roaring of a car in the distance and realized the limo was driving back towards us.
Mr. Statham, the bridge will reopen in 10 minutes, sir.
His driver pulled in front of us and rolled down the window.
Thank you, Greg.
Jonathan eased me out of his lap and helped me back inside the car. I thought we were going to continue our epic long silence saga and ride back to my place without talking, but he pulled me into his arms as soon as the car pulled off. He crushed his lips onto mine and kissed me passionately, making me wish he would take things further and undress me. But he didn't. He used every single second of the ride to explore my mouth with his tongue and possess my lips with his. When the car stopped outside of my house, he slowly moved away from me inside. He walked me up to my door and slipped his arms around my waist.
Did you have a good time tonight?
Yes. Thank you very much. Are you sure?
No one saw anything. You and I are a secret, just like you wanted.
He gave me another open-mouthed kiss that made me lose my balance and fall right into him. He held me tighter, rubbing his hands up and down my back, kissing me so intensely, I lost all my thoughts. I didn't want our kiss to end. I didn't want our night to end. But I wasn't sure if Ashley and Caroline were in the living room. I hadn't told them anything about him yet. Before I could consider the idea any further, Jonathan gave me one last passionate kiss and stepped back.
Good night, Claire.
Chapter 13. Jonathan. Any word on where Harrison stands on the Unitech investment? Are we sure we want to buy Livingston Corp before we go public? Their sales were dismal last quarter. We need to finalize our predictions for the market at least 3 weeks before the IPO launch. The S-Foam Blue has officially broken our last record for pre-order sales. I was sitting in another late-night board meeting, and I was tempted to say, I honestly don't give a damn about what any of you are talking about. Let's just get the hell out of here. Yet some of the shareholders were tuning in from overseas, and I knew that wasn't the smartest idea. We'd been fine-tuning the details for the IPO that was still a long while away. Renegotiating stock options, finalizing the requirements for employee buy-ins, and preparing hundreds of public statements and in-house events. I'd been so busy that I hadn't seen or spoken to Claire all week. I didn't have time to attend any of her directors' meetings or talk to her on the phone at night. My meetings always ended around 3 in the morning, and since her department was so busy with the S-tablet, we only texted each other a few times a day. I didn't think not seeing her for a week would bother me, but it did. Anytime the meetings became boring, which was every 15 minutes, I pictured her bent over my desk, pushed up against the walls of my office, or screaming my name as I pushed her into another climax. Where else in this building should we have sex?
Mr. Statham, Mr. Statham,
one of the board members cleared his throat. Maybe on the roof?
Yes.
Is it okay if we end tonight's meeting a little early? I looked at my watch. 2:30 in the morning. That's fine with me. I tried not to look relieved. See you all on Monday. They stood up at once and shuffled out of the room. There were no see you later or great job team goodbyes. The friendly salutations had worn off much earlier in the week, as soon as the first meeting went past midnight. I closed my folder and realized Vanessa was standing by the door.
Hey, Vanessa. It hasn't been the same at the negotiating sessions without you. How was France?
It was phenomenal, she bit her lip. Did you miss me?
In what sense? Funny. Are you sleeping in your office suite tonight?
Probably so.
I started stacking my files.
Why?
Can I stay the night?
I looked up and raised my eyebrow.
What? I'm too tired to drive home.
I can get Greg to take you in the town car. I pulled out my phone. Do you want me to have your car taken to your house, too, or do you...
Jonathan, no one is around right now. Everyone has gone home.
There's no need for you to act like we're platonic.
We are platonic.
You don't want to ride home?
No, I don't want to ride home.
She stopped and shook her head.
You changed the employee fraternization policy while I was gone.
And I'm finally back, so...
I took that to mean... that you finally decided to give us a chance.
Vanessa, I've never...
Don't worry. I'm not trying to rush things between us.
She walked over and touched my shoulder.
I wasn't implying that we sleep together tonight. Unless you want to, of course. I was thinking we could just talk, you know? We've been friends for so long, but we don't really know each other outside of the boardroom.
I sighed. I'm dating someone else.
Someone else? Since when?
Since... it wasn't any of her damn business. It hasn't been that long.
So it's not serious, right?
She shrugged.
You've always kept your options open. I'll go grab my bag out of my car and we can...
I'm dating her and only her, Vanessa.
I've told you over and over that you and I are just friends. I want to keep it that way. Forever.
This doesn't make any sense.
She crossed her arms.
You're honestly not attracted to me?
I am.
You don't enjoy hanging out with me. You don't think we have great conversations?
I do.
But you don't want to date me?
No.
Can it get any clearer?
Okay.
She took a deep breath and stepped back.
I take it that the woman you're dating is an employee here?
I didn't answer. I just raised my eyebrow.
Does she have a name?
She does.
What is it?
Friends can tell each other who they're dating.
Can they?
I stood up. I never meant to lead you on. If I did that in any way, I'm sorry. I think you're extremely pretty, smart, and...
Spare me your pity shit, Jonathan.
She scoffed and headed for the door.
Don't come crying to me when your low-level employee runs to the press and tries to blackmail you. I might help her.
See you Monday, Vanessa. I like the skirt you wore today.
Fuck you.
She rolled her eyes and left. I waited 10 minutes before walking out of the conference room. I didn't want to run into her or anyone else on my way upstairs. I swiped my key at my private elevator and sighed. I thought about calling Claire, but I figured she was already asleep. I walked into my bedroom and lay across the bed. Nothing was on TV except those renovation shows that Claire liked to watch. The one I was currently watching featured two men who were tearing down a dilapidated porch and turning it into a wraparound veranda. How can she watch this without falling asleep? I changed the channel to an infomercial, a magic soap bar that could clean any and everything, and slid under the covers. I pulled out my laptop and started going over the week's meeting notes, reading all the things I hadn't bothered listening to earlier. I heard my phone ringing and assumed it was one of the board members emailing the meeting notes from tonight. but it kept ringing. I flipped it over and looked at the screen. Claire.
Hello, I answered.
Hey.
Are you okay? I sat up. Is something wrong?
No, I was just calling to talk to you.
At 3 in the morning?
Is there a time frame on when I'm allowed to call you?
Could you forward me the schedule so I can better understand the do's and don'ts?
I'll have my secretary email it to you in the morning.
How are you?
I'm okay.
I placed my reading glasses on the side table.
Why do you sound like that?
Sound like what?
Like you're almost out of breath. Like you're whispering.
Are you sure you're all right?
Yes, I'm quite fine. I was calling you to talk about work.
Work?
Are you going deaf?
What about work, Claire?
Well, I was thinking that there were a lot of...
You called me because you're horny.
What?
She sucked in her breath.
No, I'm not horny. I'm...
Yes, you are.
Jonathan, I was calling because...
Admit it, I smiled.
That's not why I called you.
Go get your laptop.
Why?
I'm going to help you with your problem.
She was silent. I could only hear her soft breaths over the line.
Claire?
Yes?
Go get your laptop.
Hold on a second.
She came back on the line seconds later.
I have it.
Good. Log into your email. I stepped out of bed and walked into my office suite's living room. I poured myself a glass of scotch and sat in a chair.
I'm logged in now, she murmured.
I logged into my own account and opened up the web chat app. I typed in her name and hit connect. Within seconds, her beautiful face appeared on my screen. She was sitting in front of a stack of red pillows, and I could see her gold-colored duvet. She moved the laptop back a bit, allowing me to get a better picture of her. She was wearing a thin white t-shirt, and her hair was in large pink rollers. She's so fucking sexy.
You can hang up the phone now, I said, still smiling.
She rolled her eyes and set her phone down. So, since you're not horny, what exactly did you call to talk to me about?
The S-tablet.
She blinked twice, giving me further indication that she was lying.
The S-tablet? What about it?
Well, she paused, we've narrowed down the potential slogans to 4, and the campaign directives are going to be finalized by the end of...
Take off your shirt.
What?
Take it off.
She hesitated for a few seconds, and I thought I was going to have to repeat myself, but she slowly pulled the shirt over her head, revealing a lacy red bra.
I should have had Greg pick her up.
Like I was saying, she was clearly trying to make this more difficult than it needed to be. By the end of next week...
Were you touching yourself before you called me?
She turned bright red.
What were you thinking about? I tilted my screen. And don't you dare lie to me.
I was thinking about...
Her voice trailed off.
Yes?
You.
Me fucking you? Be specific. Her cheeks turned scarlet.
Jonathan.
Take off your bra. And your panties, if you're actually wearing any today. She looked shocked, but she unsnapped the button of the front of her bra and pulled the straps down over her shoulders, revealing her voluptuous breasts and strawberry-colored nipples. She didn't make another move, and I smiled. I love the fact that she went bare so often.
Are you going to tell me what you were thinking about, Claire? Or are you going to make me guess?
Her breath hitched, and she looked off to the side for a few seconds.
I
touch your tits. She slowly reached up and palmed her breasts, slightly squeezing them.
No, not like that,
I shook my head. Touch them like I do when I'm fucking you from behind.
John!
Do it. She gasped and sat frozen.
Claire!
I narrowed my eyes at her. She blinked a few times, but then she roughly grabbed her breasts and pinched her hardened nipples, twisting them harshly, pulling them out as far as they could go.
You're not going to tell me what you were thinking about? What you want me to do to you? How you like to be fucked?
No. Her breaths were becoming choppy, and the expression on her face made me wish she was here with me in person. Made me wish she could take care of my swelling erection. Are you wet? I saw one of her hands moving away from her breasts, down the screen, down to the part I couldn't see. She didn't answer. She just bit her lip and looked into my eyes with a sense of longing, desire.
Since you're not going to tell me what you want me to do to you, I adjusted my screen. I want to fuck your mouth. Her jaw dropped. I've wanted to feel your lips wrapped around my dick since the first day we met.
Oh, God. She shut her eyes. Open your eyes back up. Look at me. Look at me. She let out a muffled moan and slowly blinked.
I want to be the first man to taste you. I want to kiss your clit and fuck you with my tongue. Are you going to let me do that?
Answer me.
Yes.
You like me talking to you like this, don't you? She was shutting her eyes again, slowly rocking her body back and forth against fingers that I wished weren't hidden from me.
I can't wait to see you in person again, I lowered my voice. I'm going to fuck the shit out of you.
Stop. Stop talking.
Tell me you're mine.
I could tell she was about to come. She was biting down on her lip and shaking her head.
Tell me right now.
Yes. Yes. She let go and fell back onto her pillows.
Yours.
I watched her gasp for air and convulse, watched the vibrations rip through her sexy body, and waited for her to calm down. It took several minutes for her breathing to get under control, for her chest to stop heaving uncontrollably. When she was finally coherent, she reached for the laptop and brought it up to her chest.
Is your problem fixed now? I raised my eyebrow.
She lay back against her pillows and suppressed a smile.
I never had a problem.
Of course you didn't. What are your plans for today?
I'm going to go for a run around 7 at Golden Gate Park.
You? A very long cold shower. I noticed her holding back a laugh. I don't think too many people will be at that park around 7.
Are you trying to ask if you can join me?
I don't need to, I smiled. I'll see you in a few hours. Claire stopped running and plopped down on a bench right by the lake.
That trail was amazing, she panted. I need to rest for a minute.
I sat down next to her, watching beads of sweat trickle down her chest. It always amazed me how good she looked in everything. She was dressed in gray sweats and a light purple tank top, but she still looked stunning.
Can I ask you something?
She looked over at me.
Of course you can. Are you sure?
She lowered her voice.
It's a really personal question.
Are you mocking me? Ask me anything you want.
Why did you feel the need to change your bio about your past for the company handbook?
Whoa, didn't see that one coming.
It's complicated.
I didn't want to talk about it.
She nodded and looked off into the distance, at the birds that were now landing in droves around the lake, at the small group of kids who were attempting to build castles with wet mud. She leaned back and began stretching her muscles, holding her arms over her head and arching her legs. I suddenly realized that unlike all the women I'd dated in the past, Claire wasn't going to open up to me first, if she opened up at all. She didn't trust me, and I guess I hadn't really given her much of a reason to. My parents were crystal meth dealers, I turned to face her. They used to leave me and my little sister locked in the trailer home while they went out and sold drugs. Whenever they were home, they were either passed out high or yelling at us for shit we didn't even do. She crossed her legs on the bench and looked into my eyes. She looked sympathetic, but I didn't want to turn this into an emotional tirade. I just wanted to give her the facts and move on to a different conversation. We pretty much had to fend for ourselves. I was 8 and she was 3. At first, they only left us for a few hours, a night here or there. But in the summertime, they would leave us locked in there for weeks at a time. The two of us would cry for someone to come help us, but no one ever did. I sighed. By the time I was 12, I was taking care of my little sister all by myself and just trying to keep us out of my parents' way. I tried to stay after school as late as I could and made sure she was out of the trailer as much as possible. But on one particular Friday, all the activities were canceled because of a storm, so we had to go home. When we got there, my parents were getting into a car and saying they'd be right back. We went inside as usual, and they locked the door behind us. I tucked my sister into bed and was about to take a nap, but all these pots and bottles were in flames on the stove. I tried to put the fire out, but the flames only grew bigger and bigger. I suddenly remembered waking Haley up, listening to her deafening screams when she saw the flames behind my back, when she realized that the flames were blocking the only door. I locked us both in the bathroom, hoping that the neighbors would see the flames, that they would call the fire department in time to get us out. But black smoke started seeping underneath the door, and I could see the metal hinges twisting and bending in the heat. I started throwing things at the small window that was above the toilet, soap dishes, shampoo bottles, the plunger, attempting to break it, but it wouldn't crack. Haley was crying hysterically, beating her hands against the shower glass, and I was trying my best to get that damn window open. After a while, I didn't hear her erratic screams at all. She'd passed out. I didn't know what to do, so I just kept throwing stuff at the window. I didn't have time to stop and help her.
She died?
Claire looked saddened. No, I ran my hand through my hair. I managed to get the window open by beating at it with a metal trash can. I picked her up and threw her out of it, and then I climbed out minutes before the whole trailer exploded. If I were to write about it in my bio, it would read something like, "My parents left me and my little sister in an exploding meth lab alone, and we were eventually separated and put in different foster homes while they served out long prison terms." That's not something I really want my employees or competitors to know about. People are sick these days, and will use anything in a smear campaign.
I'm so sorry. I wouldn't have asked if...
It's okay. I don't think about it that often. She was quiet for several moments.
Can I ask you something else?
Is it something else depressing?
No,
she shook her head.
It's about the women you've dated before.
Ask away.
Have you ever dated anyone else older than you?
No.
Any reason why?
I don't need to know how old a beautiful woman is before I ask her out. I watched her blush. It just never happened before you. There's no other reason.
And you've really slept with 17 women?
Would it make you feel better if I lied to you about it?
Maybe. Try it.
Okay, Claire. I tried to sound as sincere as possible. No, I haven't really slept with 17 women. That's a ridiculous number. I made that up to seem like I was more experienced than I was. The truth is, I was a virgin when we first met. But I knew that the moment I saw you and heard a few words come out of your smart-ass mouth, that it was you that I wanted to lose my virginity to. I wasn't going to tell you this, but I cried after the first time we...
You're so full of it.
She playfully hit my shoulder, and I pulled her close to me. I don't lie. I ran my fingers across her soft lips. Unlike some people I know, I stifled her laugh with a kiss, and laid her against the park bench, but she suddenly jumped up.
Oh my God,
she said as she shook her head.
I knew we should have left earlier.
What? What's wrong?
Claire!
Mr. Statham! Mr. Henderson, one of the campaign directors, stopped running right in front of us and took out his earbuds. You two are here together? He raised his eyebrow. Claire sighed and looked like she was about to say something, but I stood up.
Not at all, Mr. Henderson. I saw Mrs. Grayson running by and asked her to sit with me for a minute.
Do all directors meet here on Saturday mornings? Am I keeping her away from the rest of the group?
Oh, not at all, he shook his head.
but I may have to start coming here more often. Claire, I had no idea you ran. Maybe we can run here together sometime. This secret dating shit isn't going to work for too much longer. She looked over at me. I'm not so...
It was nice seeing the two of you today. It's good to know that employees are friends outside of the office. I looked back and forth between the two of them. I'm going to go back to relaxing on the bench now. Have a great Saturday, Mr. Henderson. I narrowed my eyes at Claire.
Miss Grayson.
I walked back over to the bench, only a few feet away from them, and pretended to be engrossed in my phone.
What were you saying, Claire?
He smiled at her.
I was saying that I wasn't sure if that'd be a good idea. We're co-workers in the same department, and...
You and I both know that the fraternization policy was canceled a while ago. He reached over and caressed her cheek with the side of his palm.
It's just a run, Claire. If you enjoy it, and I think you would, we could even do lunch later. There's this great sandwich shop 2 miles down.
I've always wanted to ask you out. You're beyond gorgeous. But with a policy and all, and you being so...
Me being so what?
She tilted her head to the side and smiled.
Is she actually entertaining him? In front of me? Right in front of me?
Nothing. I just always wanted to ask you out, that's all. Would you like to run with me next Saturday?
I can't. I mean, thanks for the offer, but I can't go out with you. I am kind of seeing someone else right now.
Kind of?
Is it completely exclusive, or are you open to dating other people?
She hesitated, and I almost jumped up and kissed her in broad daylight, right in front of him and anyone else that cared to watch.
I'm seeing someone else, Matthew.
Well, he smiled. Let me know if it doesn't work out, okay? Think you and I would be good together. We have a lot in common.
He looked her over one last time before he walked away.
I can't believe this woman. She has some fucking nerve.
Mr. Henderson resumed his run, and Claire walked back over to the bench.
I think we should get out of here before anyone else shows up, she sighed. It's almost 9 o'clock, so...
Are you ashamed of me, Claire?
What?
No, of course not.
What's the reason behind keeping us dating a secret again?
The employee policy has been changed for quite some time now.
Because you're the CEO, and I'm a mid-level marketing director. It's already complicated enough with the age gap, but our positions are...
Do you want a fucking promotion? Do you want a seat on the goddamn board? What position do you fucking want, because I'll make it happen today?
What do I need to do to make sure people know that you're taken and not interested? Because you sure as hell don't know how to make that clear.
Excuse me? She scoffed.
I don't need you to insult me by acting like you're in control of... What position do you want?
It's not about the position, Jonathan, she seethed. It's about me knowing better than to date the CEO in the first place, who is undoubtedly the most jealous and possessive man I've ever met.
You left out the sexiest.
She rolled her eyes and stood up. I parked my car on the other side of the lake. I'll see you at work on Monday.
Stop. I reached out and grabbed her arm. I was more than honest with you. I told you I'm the jealous type, and I meant that. I don't want to see you with anyone else. And I don't want people thinking you're on the market.
What do I need to do to make sure that happens?
Stop being so damn childish.
I'm not being childish. I'm protecting what's mine.
I'm not?
You're not what?
Mine? Is that what you were about to say?
She crossed her arms and let out an exasperated sigh.
Why did you let him touch you here?
I ran my fingertips across her cheek.
I didn't like that.
How was I supposed to know that he was going to touch me? I can't read minds.
We really need to leave before the morning rush.
Mr. Barnes runs here sometimes, as well as a few of my associates.
Where are you headed?
I slipped my arm around her waist.
Home.
She tried to move my hand, but I tightened my grip.
I don't think so.
Jonathan, I am going home. Right now. Deal with it.
No, you're not. You're coming with me. I narrowed my eyes at her.
We need to have another discussion and make sure the two of us are on the same page. I don't think you fully understand what being mine means.
Fine.